Welcome, everybody. Welcome to this session on enabling DevOps with Application Insights. Great that you've all been coming here. I didn't expect so many people being interested in App Insights, so that's good. Thank you for that. So before we get started, my name is Marcel de Vries. I'm the co-founder and CTO of Xperit, a little startup consulting firm here in the Netherlands. And we started, a year and two quarters in a year ago. And we're now with 18 people doing consulting on the Microsoft stack. And you've probably seen us in various places around the conference, and we're also the guys that created the conference app, so I hope you enjoy that and that you have a great navigation throughout the conference. And I will show you some of the stuff that we've done with App Insights also inside that application to just give you an insight on how to live the DevOps life as we've been living that for the past couple of weeks also if it comes to building these kind of apps. So the agenda for this afternoon is that I would like to first set a little bit the stage on what is continuous delivery and DevOps. I'm not going into length and detail and all the conversations you can have around DevOps, but I just want to have more or less a definition on what we're looking at. And based on that, we will have a short look at minimal viable products. And the reason is that App Insights provides all kinds of capabilities for measuring stuff in MVPs. Then we will go through the different parts of App Insights. We'll show you how you can add it to your application. And I will show also the results in the portal for that. And then I will go into more what I call the DevOps mode, where we will have things around active alerting and proactive alerting, and how do we get messages in when stuff is going bad, although we didn't even notice it, or even our customers didn't notice it yet. So we'll have a look at that, and then I will show you more or less the DevOps wall that we created, that's the things that we monitor if it comes, for example, to an event like this, so that you have a good understanding on how you can actually use this stuff in production. So if we talk about continuous delivery and DevOps, I think it's important to start first with a little definition. And this definition comes from Donovan Brown, who is one of the program managers on the Microsoft Visual Studio team, who is responsible for the DevOps cycle there. And his definition is that DevOps is the union of people, process, and products to enable continuous delivery of value to your end users. Now, the thing is that continuous delivery is already in here, and DevOps, as the way as I look at it, is nothing more than an optimization of your continuous delivery process, okay? Because you can do continuous delivery without doing DevOps, but doing DevOps without continuous delivery doesn't really make sense, because what is it that you try to achieve at that point in time? So continuous delivery is all about delivering continuous flow of value to your customers. So what we try to do in the most easy way to remember more or less what it's about is that we can deploy to production anytime, any moment we want. There are no blockages in the way, and we have a very concise process to follow. So it's a very rigid and strict process, but it's fully automated. The thing is that if you make that happen, then you also want to see what the effect is if you deploy something to production, and if you need to take corrective measures, for example, or do a roll forward of issues that you might have introduced during such a rollout. Okay, so continuous delivery is all about delivering the value, and DevOps is more or less the way you work and cooperate with the infrastructure engineers, the operations people, to make things run smoothly in production. Now, if you look at the two sides of IT that we see is more or less traditional IT and modern IT, is that in traditional IT you see traditionally waterfall kind of approaches, whereas in modern we see agile scrum and agile methodologies. On the traditional IT side, we also see that we have different teams in the organization responsible for different parts of the development process. So what you see is that you might have a department which is responsible for doing the testing, or a department that's responsible for doing all the production work and fixing production when stuff goes bad. So this is where we have this tangent going on, where we as developers try to crank out as much features as we can as fast as possible. And then we have operations that wants to keep things stable. So please do not push anything into production, because that will make me get a phone call at 3 a.m. in the night that I need to get up and fix your stuff. So the whole idea behind DevOps is that we get rid of that, and that the team is responsible for the success and the delivery of the total value stream. Meaning that the team itself is responsible for fixing stuff that you've broken in production the moment you checked in something into the version control repository. Now, the whole thing is that in traditional IT, we have a very clear separation between, let's say, the business and what we do as IT or as developers. The whole idea behind modern IT is that we cooperate together. So we have like this dev biz ops going on, where we have the business part of our development team, and together with each other, we are responsible for providing the right value. Now, traditional IT works in budgets, budget rounds, we have projects, and the whole idea behind modern IT is that we have a constant value stream constantly going on, meaning that we also need to have a constant flow of money, which is always the most interesting part to get done in your organization. Okay, so there's more like the governance part, which also should be part of the whole thing if you would try to implement this into your organization. Now, if you look at DevOps practices and if you look at continuous delivery and practices that you learn there, then there's the notion of what we call a minimal viable product. And a minimal viable product has been introduced by Eric Ries in his book about lean startups. So what he defines as a minimal viable product is that he says, well, it's a new product or a new version of a product that you create, which allows the team to collect a maximum amount of what we call validated learning about the customers with the least amount of effort. Now, let that sink in for a while. So what does this actually mean? What this means is that we try to build something and that we do not try to have an idea, and then build on that idea a whole big design up front where we say this is all that we need to do, and only if everything is there we can ship it. What we try to do is we try to create the minimal kind of implementation of the product, and then the moment we put it in production, we want to measure if customers really actually like the thing that we've built. And if they start using it, then we start improving it based on the feedback we get from the user or uses patterns that we can learn from a production environment. A very easy example of that might be, for example, you say, well, I would like to create an app for my organization. And I know that, for example, I think my hypothesis is that my customers will get an insurance policy from a mobile app, for example. So I create a mobile app to just get a new insurance policy from a certain company. Now, what you could do is you could then build the whole mobile app, build all kinds of features in that mobile app, and then put it into market, and you'll probably be off, let's say, 100,000 euros further away, and then you finally have something in production. The other thing what you could do is say, well, let us first validate the idea that we want to build this product, and do we think that customers actually want this, yes or no? So what we will do is we on our website, we give this additional button where we say, you can get the app here. But there's no app yet. So what you will do is you will measure the moments that people will actually push the button, and what you would do, you register the fact that people are interested. Now, that gives you validated learning, validated experience in terms of, is my customer actually interested in using such a mobile app, yes or no? If yes, you can sign them up there for an early beta so that you have this nice idea of testing in production. You can just push stuff to people and they will test it for you. And that's the way you can then engage with your audience. So it's a little bit of a different approach. Instead of building something that's completely full and total, we create little nuggets that do certain stuff. And this is an example where we didn't actually build the product, but just validated the notion that we wanted to have a product. But you can also look at products and build minimal implementations of certain stuff. And if people actually start using it and you measure that, that's the moment that we can then say we want to invest in that more. So it gets rid of a lot of waste that you have in your process. So validated learning is all about, are we building the right thing? Okay, and we build a minimal feature, and the important thing is that we start measuring how much the feature is being used. Okay, now these metrics are very important to us. Now the question is, how do we get the telemetry data and the metrics about the MVP? Okay, so we need to build something in. And of course, we can build all kinds of fancy stuff. I mean, we do .NET, we do JavaScript, we build great frameworks, but there is something that you can use out of the box. And based on this stuff that we have in App Insights, you can then do your validated learning using the Application Insights SDKs, as I will show you just in a couple of moments. Now, if you look at the space of monitoring and insights, there are many, many different products, okay? So the thing is, I will show you Application Insights, but it's not that we always use Application Insights. Okay, there are certain scenarios that you might use different products for. For example, I will show you an example of what we've done with our mobile app, where we also integrated Google Analytics, and we integrated Hockey App, and we integrated Application Insights. Okay, so we have three kinds of products that we use to do the active monitoring in this particular case. And there are different products out there. What I will show you is App Insights, which is just something you can get for free in the Microsoft stack. Now, if you look at Application Insights, then there are more or less four different areas that is supported. So the first is performance benchmarks. So we can get performance information from our application. We can get them from the server side and from the client side if it comes to web applications. And on the mobile side, there are different ways of getting the performance data from your mobile application. That's not supported anymore by Application Insights, unfortunately. So they had a whole mobile SDK, but they discontinued the mobile SDK before they had something else. So they're working on something else, but we don't have that yet available. Okay, so that's the reason we also need to use sometimes other products to get stuff done. Then the other side of things is that we can get usage information. So what is being used in our application, which can be very interesting for helping your product owner decide how important a feature is. Normally, you see that a product owner listens to the people that shout the hardest, but is that actually the decision that you wanted to make? So based on these metrics, you can then say, okay, I see that this feature is only used once a year. Should we really invest in that? Because this one end user in the business always is asking for the same thing and is very loud. Those are the decisions that you then can support based on usage information from your application. Then we have the notion of diagnostics, which is very important in the DevOps space, because DevOps is all about that we remediate the issues that we might have in production, that we can see if issues are going on and that we can then remediate that in some way, shape, or form. So we'll dive into that a little bit deeper. And then availability is all about availability of your services online. And is your service still up and running, yes or no? And we can get all kinds of pretty graphs from that based on monitoring capabilities that are part of Application Insights. So if we look at performance, then performance is separated in two nuggets, I would say. So we have the server-side performance and the client-side performance. And client-side performance shows me the time being spent in the browser for web applications. And there we can see actually the timings very nicely laid out in terms of this is the time it took to get the first bytes, this is the time we needed to render on the screen, and this is the total amount being spent on the page or showing a page in the right way. Then on the server side, we have all kinds of metrics if it comes to how was the response time of my server, so how fast did I respond with the new bytes that I wanted to give to the client. And it also tracks down so-called dependencies for you. So I don't need to do anything special. It will detect for me if there are any dependencies going on. So for example, a dependency that I might have on the database. So I will get immediate information, what are the dependencies that my application has, and that's then reflected back into the portal. And then we have performance counters, okay? So we can also get performance counters from our application on the servers, and that all rolls up into the portal. So what I will do is first start with a simple demo on how we can measure the performance of our application. And what I've done is I created the standard MVC web application out of the box, nothing special. And now the question is, how do we add Application Insights to this product? Now for that, in Visual Studio 2015, you just right-click and you say Add Application Insights Telemetry. And what you see is that you get a dialog, and this dialog has the integration with my Azure subscription. Okay, so now what will happen is it will go off and say, okay, you want to go to my subscription at Xebia, and then it will create a web application tree resource for me where I will get all the metrics information. So Application Insights will generate telemetry data, and the telemetry data will always go to Azure. Okay, so in Azure is where we get the reporting. In Azure, we get all the details. We can also set up what we call continuous exports of that data to so-called blob storage. And then from there, you can take it on-prem and do anything you want with that. Okay, but first of all, it always lands inside Microsoft Azure. So I will click Get Started for free. And now what we'll do is we'll add a couple of packages to my application, which are nothing more than NuGet packages that it will get from a NuGet feed. And it will go off to my Azure subscription, and it will create a new resource for me, which is then Web Application 3 in Application Insights. Now, the final thing that I can do is I can say I would like to configure trace collection as well. Trace collections is all about that I'm sending out, for example, warnings or debug messages that I want to show up immediately in my window instead of having to wait for that data very long. So I can add the diagnostics as well. And then what you can do, and you get a little dialog here at the bottom, you can see that that's the code in C# that you should place into your application, and then you can get the trace messages right away in your portal. So this is it. So now it's been set up. And now what I can do is I can just say, okay, run this for me. And now I will just start the web application. And in the meanwhile, what I will do is I will go to my subscription. I want to go to my subscription. And here what I will do is I will go to portal.azure.com. Meanwhile, you see here that my ASP.NET application is there. And here what you see is it's just a standard application. Nothing special has happened to my application. You do not see any changes there. But in the meanwhile, all the instrumentation is already embedded in the application just by adding the NuGet package for me. So what I can do is, again, go to Application Insights. And if all's well, I should see a Web Application 3 over here. And this is now my portal where I can then see information on what's going on with my application. And here you see then the metrics information that you have. Now it always takes a little while before the data is shown in the portal. There's no real-time graphs. I will show you the live stream that's possible as well, which we use also often. But the data is most of the time lagging 1 or 2 minutes because it needs to be aggregated in the Azure data pods that they have. And from there, they then create all kinds of nice metrics. So what I need to do is I need to exercise my application a bit. So I'm going to some of the screens, for example, the register is always a little bit slower because we're actually doing something there. And then we go to login, register again, contact, about, home. Just click around a bit. If you've been to my load test session, you can just run a load test on it just to get some pretty graphs. It's always fun to do. And that's now the way we exercise this application. And we will come back to this graph a little bit later, and then we will see that we will get the performance information. But this is only on the server side at the moment, okay? Because there's no instrumentation yet of my browser part of the application. So what I need to do is I can go here in the portal, and here you see that we have server response time, page view load time, server requests, and failed requests. Now the view load time, that's all about the client. So I can go here, and here you see the script that I need to inject into my application. So I just copied this piece of JavaScript. And the only thing I need to do, and this is more or less the same as you would do with, for example, a Google Analytics or any other product that you would have in your web browser. The only thing that I need to do is go here to my views, go to shared, and to the layout page. And here in the header, you just place this piece of script. Now what happens is it injects a little bit of JavaScript, and here you see my instrumentation key. Now this key is more or less an identifier of the data pod that I'm pushing all the data to. Okay, so on the server side, I more or less have the same. So what happened is it created this Application Insights file, which is a configuration of Application Insights. And then here you see that I have the exact same key. So that's the way I can push data to one and the same data pod, and based on that, do all kinds of slices and dices into the data. Okay. So if I would have multiple applications or parts of an application, let's say you're doing microservices and you have different services calling into each other, you can still make one big dashboard, but then differentiate based on, for example, the origin of the service, and then add a special attribute to every message that's being sent, that this is, for example, service number one, this is service number two, and then you can dissect the data later in the different graphs. Let's see if we already have some data coming in. Not yet. So what I will do is we'll run the application again. And now we will also exercise the client side of things. So we will click around here a bit again. And then based on that, we should get some more data and also rendering information about my application. Like I said, it might take a little while before the data trickles in, so we'll just leave the screen and I'll come back to that the moment we dive into that. But that's the only thing we need to do to add the telemetry. It was nothing more than adding the NuGet packages and adding a little piece of JavaScript in your front end, and that gives you, I think, already 80% of the capabilities that you might want. Okay, we go back in the data later. Now, if we come back to the minimal viable product, you might want to design some custom telemetry, because you would like to learn, for example, if you're playing a game and you have a game application, you would like to know, for example, what is the average score that people have when they finish a game. Now, those kind of questions you can ask yourself, and you can, of course, project that on the feature that you try to build. And then the only thing that we need to do is, in our application code, and that can be on the JavaScript side, that can be on the server side in .NET, there's also a Java SDK, there's a PHP SDK, there are many, many different SDKs for which App Insights is available. And we can just code up two simple statements. The only thing that we need to do is we need to capture the data that we want to log in App Insights. So in this particular case, we want to say that the properties are game. Okay, and I would like to know the difficulty of the game, and that's just one dimension over which I would like to slice my data. Then the metric that I have is the score. So now what will happen is that I can dissect the score and then say, how was the score for a specific difficulty of a game? And that's the way I can then project out graphs, as you can see below. So the only thing that I need to do is say telemetry.trackEvent, and telemetry is just an instance of a variable of the type telemetry client. Telemetry client is part of the SDK. You can just instantiate that. It will figure out the application config that I just showed you, and based on that, it will send the data to the right data pod and the backend. Now, like I said, there are multiple platforms supported by App Insights. Of course, .NET Core is there, Java, PHP, Node, Python, Ruby. Yeah, there's just a lot of different SDKs out there. It's the new Microsoft, it's the new way of doing things, and all these SDKs are also open source. So also the App Insights SDKs are fully open sourced. Okay, so you can just fiddle around and do anything you'd like if you want to. So let me see how we can add usage information. And for that, what I will do is I will swap over to this application that I have here, which is the MVC Music Store application. And the MVC Music Store application, I'm now running it on my local machine, is an application where we can buy albums online. And the hypothesis here is that I would like to know what is the moment that people start deleting items from the shopping basket. Is there, for example, a certain amount? And if the amount is above a certain threshold, does that mean that all of a sudden people start to remove items from the basket? Because that might be interesting for me. Say, oh, wait a minute, we're now upping towards such a limit where we see that people start deleting items. We might want to give a discount so that they get additional items in their basket, for example. Okay. So the idea is that if I go here to add a cart and then add items to my cart, I would like to register, for example, the moment that I click here remove, that a particular item in a certain genre is removed, and I want to know the value of the shopping basket at that point in time. Now, to make this happen, what you do is you do the following. So I have the application shopping cart controller over here. So this is where the shopping cart interaction is going on. And what I've done is the moment we delete an item, so we have here the code remove from cart, what I'm doing is I'm here then asking log telemetry event for the cart in the album. Okay. Now the fun thing is that here the only thing I need to write is then say, okay, I'm getting information about the shopping cart. I have a special function for that because I do not want all the unique values of that shopping cart. I just want to know certain ranges. So it's always good to basket it in certain ranges. And the ranges that I have is then the shopping, where is it? Over here. So here you get then a segment of the different values, if it's under 100, under 500, under 1,000, for example. And then you know if it's in those ranges, and if not, then yeah, we need to figure out something else, perhaps. Then you see that I have a couple of properties. So I'm interested in the amount segment, the genre, and the artist. And then I'm logging the measurement, the total amount of the shopping cart. Okay, and then I'm tracking the event that the item is removed, and that's where I would like to create a graph from. Now, what I've done in the meanwhile is, if all's well, data should be there here now. So you see that the data has been trickling in. The only thing that I've not seen here is things that gone wrong, because I didn't throw any exceptions. But you see the first telemetry data just trickling in a couple of minutes later, then we just added it to the application. So here you see that I have the MVC Music Store, and that's the one that is on my site that I just showed you. And that has the code in there that I showed you for the custom telemetry data. So if I now go to the Metrics Explorer, that is where we can create our own pretty graphs based on the data that we're logging into the backend system. So here what I can do is I can then say, okay, click on this graph, and then I get this editor over here, and here I can then go and find custom data that I have. So you see that I have custom data here, and what I have is the total amount, and that is exactly what you saw me logging here, total amount. Okay, so that's the name of the custom telemetry, and now I know that I can dissect that in different areas. For example, I would like to know which genre or which artist is more often removed from the basket, or if it's always in a certain genre, let's say jazz or disco, for example. So now what I can do is I can say, okay, I would like to create a graph here. So make that, for example, an area graph. I would like to do some grouping. So grouping is then on. I would like to group it on, let's say, the artist name. Or, and then you can always give it nice, pretty warm colors instead. But here you can also see that we have something like genre. So then it's bucketed into the different genres that we have. Now, sometimes this might be handy. You also might say, no, just give me a grid. And then in the grid, I would like to know which genres are there, and then on average, which one is the one selected. So it's very more or less like a top score that you can get, which genre wins in this particular case. So here you see that I'm adding custom telemetry data to my application. Now, I've done this on the server side. I can do this in a JavaScript SDK on the client side, and it's more or less the same. It's nothing more than creating simple properties that you would like to dissect the data on, and then the metric that you need to capture, and you need to capture the metric then, and then send that as an event. So you track the event, and based on that, it comes into the data pod, and then you can then do anything with that you'd like. Now, sometimes you might say these graphs are not enough for me. I would like to do some more powerful slicing and dicing of the data, or combine it with other data that I cannot flow inside Application Insights. And what you can do is you can set a so-called continuous export over here. And the continuous export then can go to a storage account. And there what it will do is every 5 minutes, it will dump out a JSON file that contains all the JSON information that's been sent. Because what happens in the whole SDK is nothing more than you can see it over here, by the way, in the bottom section, that the Application Insights telemetry has been logged, and then it's nothing more than a JSON string that's being sent to the data pod on the server side. Okay, and that's the data that we get, and we can then use Power BI or any of your favorite tools to create pretty graphs out of that. Okay. So that's all about usage information, building your minimal viable products, and then getting telemetry data from there. Now the other thing is that we might want to know when stuff goes bad. So this is more into, we are running an operation 24/7, stuff went bad. Somebody checked something in their repository, it went through the pipeline, and all of a sudden we see failures occurring. What's going on? How do we remediate? So for that, we can use the diagnostics events, and we can use also the trace events that I showed you before that we added, that you can just use the debug trace messages to send out alerts in your application that certain stuff has gone bad or something that you need to look at, for example. Now, Application Insights already installs, the moment we install the packages, an unhandled exception filter for you. So everything that will be logged into Application Insights out of the box, nothing more to do with that. The other thing is availability monitoring. You want to know if your site is up and running all the time. And we can add availability monitoring by adding so-called synthetic monitors. And a synthetic monitor is nothing more than a client that is constantly searching for the application and say, are you alive, yes or no? And you can do a so-called ping request. So is the still one page up and running, and is that enough for me? Or do I want to know a certain scenario, and if that scenario is still up and running, yes or no? Okay, and that's more with an elaborate test that we can do. And then, you can just upload that, and I will just show you that in a second, how that works. So if we look at diagnostics, then let me go back to the portal. Here I can go to overview. And here you see that I have a couple of failed requests that I'm interested in, because there are some 10 exceptions that have been generated for some reason and we do not really know what's going on. Or on the other hand, what I could do is I could say, well, let me say, do I have the browser open here? Not that one. This one, shopping cart. Not sure if that's, is it still running or not? Or did I stop it? I stopped it. See, no. Let me just quickly run it again. So the thing is that in my application, I have customers that are complaining about certain strange behavior that is going on. For example, when I'm emptying my shopping cart. So let's say that I added something to my shopping cart. Let's say I added a couple of items. And what you normally see is when I remove it, you will see that an item just will be removed and you get a nice message for that. But now when I remove an item here, more or less nothing happens. And then you click again and then, oh, all of a sudden it's -3. So this is a kind of strange interaction, because normally when I remove an item, you very nicely get one decrease. And so something strange is going on here. This is one of those transient errors that you do not know what's going on at the moment. Now the thing is that when I go back to App Insights here, failed requests, then what I can see is that I have these exceptions here, and you see on the remove from cart that there is an exception being thrown, and this exception is being thrown with a 500 error, okay? And now what I can see is then exact the details on what was going on the moment this exception has been logged, and you can see here that I have this message which says, where is it? Invalid operation exception. And why is that? Okay, I'm not sure why I'm not seeing that at the moment, but it should also give the exception message. Okay, sequence contains no elements is not the one that I'm expecting. But perhaps we have some other errors in here. Might be the case. Remove from cart. So there's something going on with the remove from cart, and we should be able to see the exception details. At least that's an invalid operation exception at the remove from cart. So I know exactly the section in my code at the moment where things are going bad. Okay, and that's the way we can look things up. One of the things that I find particularly interesting is that I can get all the available telemetry information for this particular operation. So that's one sequence of events that happened for one customer at the point in time. So we can see if there were additional things going on before something went bad. Or if there are any particular events 5 minutes in the range of 5 minutes before and after the event. So I can see that, for example, we had disk spaces going full, or we had a tremendous high amount of requests coming in. And based on that, you can then exactly see what was going on in your system. Okay, so now I see all the dependency requests, for example, on the database. And we might have had some outages or problems with the database and retries in there, which caused the exception. Now, in this particular case, the exception is caused by the fact that I'm just throwing an exception. Those are the simple bugs to fix, right? If you can find those in your code, it's always good. But every time it's above 30, then I will just throw an exception, and it will not remove it from the basket. I'm just saying, yeah, well, you're not allowed to buy or remove anything if you're above 30. That's a solution for people that don't want to remove items from the basket, right? Not sure if it's good for commerce, but So that's the way you can make that happen. You can get the telemetry information, what's going on. I will show you a little bit later that this has been a lifesaver for us if it comes to the Tech Days app, for example. The other thing I would like to show you is the notion of availability. Okay, and availability monitoring, we can set it up over here. And already you would see a graph here with the availability of my system from different regions. So what's been going on here is that I just said I would like to add a so-called web test. This is the synthetic monitor that I'm setting up. And we can then say I would like to, this is my demo, I would like to do a URL test. That means that I'm just going to the website and just hit the homepage, for example. And if the homepage is still up and running, all things are good. Or I can say, no, I would like to make it a little bit more complicated. I make it a multi-step. And multi-step can then use the so-called weapon performance test from Visual Studio or a fiddler trace. So if you have a fiddler trace with a couple of items that you would like to hit on your website, those requests can be captured with Fiddler. You can save it as a web test, and then you can import it here. And this will then run through a whole scenario. So this is my scenario that I used in the previous session on load testing, because you can use this for load testing as well. But this test can now be used to check if the site is still up and running, yes or no. And we can then exactly see that we have successful requests. We can see the amount of time it takes, and you can exactly have a look at the details then, how the response times were for a certain call that you've done from the different data centers. The moment you set this up, you can then select the different regions in Azure from which you would like to get the telemetry data, and it will then send the request, the web request for you from the different data centers, so that you then know if you're up and running, if you're running a 24/7 operations worldwide, for example. If you're only interested in the Netherlands, you can just select Amsterdam as the data center, and you're only being sent information from the Amsterdam data center. So the final thing I would like to take a look at is proactive alerting. That's part of App Insights, which saved our butt a couple of times with the Tech Days app. So I would like to just show you that and some of the way that we can look at diagnostics. So these alerts are just from my mailbox. These are actual events that happened to us when we were building the Tech Days backend system. So if you go to techdays.nl, then all the data that is in the portal, so all the speakers, the sessions, all the information about the event comes from our backend system. Okay, and this backend system is built on Azure Mobile, Azure Mobile Services, because we build a mobile app for that as well. So we have now two heads on one backend, you might say. And you see here on the left-hand side is that we had all of a sudden 95% of the requests all of a sudden started failing out of nothing. So I was just that was a particular evening that I was just with my wife. I said, I will not work tonight. And all of a sudden I get this app, this information on my mobile, and I said, I'm now in a DevOps world. That means that I need to fix stuff that's broken instead of just calling someone else. So I had to go in there, and for some strange reason, my colleague did an update script on the database, and all is fine if you're using Entity Framework, until you get an application pool restart, because then all of a sudden it looks at the migrations, and we didn't roll out the migration script for that particular database change. So two lessons there: never tweak the database without using your migrations. And secondly, when you deploy something to production, just at least do it in such a way that you exercise the new code and that you force an app recycle on your app domain, so you know that nothing else will kick in at a later time in point in time. The other one that you see there is that we all of a sudden get information on slow response time. So we have the App Insights learns about your application, knows what is the normal response time, and then based on that, it just got me an alert and saying, dude, all your requests all of a sudden are very slow. What's going on? And in this particular case, we had some issues with the database backend that we needed to scale up. Okay, we started with a free tier, as everybody probably does. This is what we call 5 DTUs, but the number of connections, we couldn't handle that. And you see that's leading up to this event. So you see that the requests were progressing in time as we neared the Tech Days event. And that's what you then see all of a sudden. So the remediation of this one was pretty simple, just up it from 5 DTUs to 25 DTUs, and we were good. And then we knew that before tech day start, we might want to up it again. And that's what we did, of course, just to be sure that nobody experiences any latency. And that's the great thing about the cloud. You just tweak a knob and you're done, okay? I take questions at the end, okay? So the other thing that's very interesting is that in the latest, newest SDKs, you also get the live streaming capability. And live streaming means that we can actually see the requests going up and down the moment people are doing stuff on our website. This is part of the beta package, where you need to install then the beta package of Application Insights, and then you get live data on your site. One other thing that you need to be aware of is that the performance counter information that you saw can be captured by Application Insights, that can be captured on any virtual machine, but if you deploy to Azure Web Apps, that will still more or less work, but if you deploy to mobile applications or mobile services, then they don't allow you to load the custom modules that are part of Application Insights, meaning that you do not get performance information. For that, there's an experimental SDK that you can get with some custom middleware that we can inject. And based on that, we get the requests back online. So this is the view that you will have on that. And also, it learns about your application. So this map of your application will be generated fully automatically based on the requests and the outgoing requests that it will see on a certain machine. Okay, and it builds up these graphs. And we can exactly, the moment I get this alert, in my mailbox, this is what I will look at first, because then I already identify which tier in my application might be the culprit of the problem, because some of these items will light up red, knowing that that's your problem. Okay, so in my particular case, for the second alert that I got, my database was already red and hot on this picture. Okay, I could just look at that and then go in there right away. So what I would like you to like to do with you is just show you the DevOps portal that we have. If it comes to our application, so what's fun here, I will just first show you something that we've done with Google Analytics, is that if you look at the application, we now see that at the moment 261 people are using the app as we speak. So what would be fun is if you pull out your phone and just start the Tech Days app and see if this number will bump up, because this is what we track constantly on the app. Okay, we can exactly see which page are you looking at. How long are you looking at the page, so that we can define how long our so-called mobile moments are with our audience. And based on that, we can learn a lot. So hammer the thing. There we go. Okay. What's also fun is that we can also get geo information, so we know where people are coming from. Now, for today, that's not fun. It's all in the same place. But what is fun is that, I don't have it on my desktop here, but we have a chart of the Netherlands, and we can exactly see where all the people are coming from, where they have used the app over time. And we can even make a video out of that, where they started that bubbling up. Now, that's the Google APIs that we included. This is the whole backend system, where you can see that we had an interesting spike here, and that was on the web server side, and that had that was the day before the event. Okay. Now what I've done is I scaled up the tier, so now all of a sudden you see low CPU usage. That's not because there are less people using the site, but I did an upgrade of the web tier to all of a sudden premium instead of just using a simple one core machine. Okay. Here you see the App Insights chart of the application, where you can exactly see which parts of the system are go, and they're all green. And here you see that we also have things like filled requests. You might say, oh, you guys have a lot of filled requests in here. There is some rogue client out of here that is trying to authenticate with our system, but it's constantly getting a 401 from us because they're not able to authenticate. I'm not sure who's doing it. We have not tracked it down yet because we can only figure out that it's from multiple IPs, so somebody is doing something there. But if we look here, we can exactly see what are the failed requests, and we can see that a lot of them are all the 401s that we get from favoriting the applications. So we can dive into that. You see all the details then about these requests. Okay. So this helped us tremendously throughout the days, figuring out how to manage the operations here. And the fun thing is that living the DevOps life is interesting, I can tell you. A lot of people always talk about that the operations people need to get used to DevOps. I can tell you there's quite a difference for a developer as well. If you check in code that breaks this stuff, it's your ass on the line instead of someone at operations. So that's an interesting thing to look at, I think, if you see how that is different now in the DevOps world. So to summarize what we've seen, simple ways to integrate application insights. It's nothing more than adding the packages and configuring more or less your string, which authenticates where you need to put the data in Azure. All data will always go to Azure, and from Azure you can export it and do your own stuff if you want to. And the DevOps helpers and the lifesavers for us were absolutely proactive alerting. And the live event streams, by the way, that I can also show you here, which is interesting to see. If I go to Tech Days 2016 and I go to the live stream here, clicking this one, we will see the actual usage of the system as we speak. Okay, so all the requests that are coming in, we can exactly track them and see how much is going on our servers. Okay, and what is the response time, and our response time is going up or down, and how are we doing? Okay, so here you see the live metrics going on. Okay. So with that, I would like to thank you for your time and hope you enjoy the rest of Tech Days. My last session will be on different release techniques, canary releasing, A/B testing, all that stuff, as one of the latest slots today. Thank you very much.